Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
Well, hello and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker, and I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. Thank you so very much for joining us this evening. We've got a great show planned for you tonight, and I trust that you all have certainly had a great week, and I'm looking forward to this show tonight. So we're going to try to do the best that we can and get this show to you as soon as possible, but before we get started, I wanted to do a little housekeeping, and I want to go ahead and just let you all know that what we're doing now is by having the show, we're trying to stay on course with what we call relationship maintenance. Once again, we're trying to stay on course with what we call relationship maintenance, and relationship maintenance actually entails trying to get people to just be about maintaining their relationship. It's what it says it is. It's relationship maintenance. It's about maintaining, trying to maintain your relationship. It's not always easy to stay out here and deal in relationships. And so what this show is trying to do is provide a forum where you can certainly come on the air. You can speak to issues that may be of interest to you or that concern you and, you know, be able to even offer some type of assistance to other people, you know, dealing with relationships. It's always, always, always about relationships, and that's what we want to present over the air, and that's what I find my passion, my niche in, is providing information that hopefully can be a benefit to the listening audience out there. So when we're talking about relationships, it's always, always, always information that we're hoping to be able to bring you, and hopefully you'll be able to, you know, take a look and say, hey, this is the kind of stuff that we need. We need this information. We need things like this to help save our marriages, save our relationships in some way or other. Just things like that. So that's what it is. I have a book out. It's called After the Passion, Now What? I'm going to encourage you all to go in, take a look at that book, and see if it's something that can benefit you in your relationship. Once again, we've got the book out there. Hopefully you'll be able to go in, take a look at it. You may even go ahead and place your order. You may go ahead and place your order for the book, and hopefully it can be of something that would be of interest to you. All right? So once again, you're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. If you want to call in and speak to the host tonight, you can simply call in at 347-857-1769. Once again, 347-857-1769. You can speak to the host and tell us what's on your mind relative to tonight's topic. We've been having several different topics out there. And, of course, if you have a topic that's near and dear to your heart, that's of interest to you, we would be more than happy to give consideration to doing a show topic for you. if you say, well, listen, I'm having this issue in my relationship, or it can simply be something that you certainly want to talk about in terms of relationship, or you have a question, you can certainly send me an email with your question, and we will we'll do our best to respond to you. You can send your questions at online, all your questions to online at drjessewalker.com, all one word, online at online at drjessewalker.com. And we will be more than happy to go in and answer any questions that you may have relative to that. All right, we have covered the series on marriages. So about we did a five-part series on that. You can certainly go in and look at the archives. We did a five-part series on marriages. So I would say if you're interested in that, go to the archives. If you're not interested in that, you can certainly go to the archives and catch any one of our shows. We've got over 700 shows now that we've done. You can go in and check out any one of those shows. And I'm certain that there's a show out there that could benefit you and your relationship. So it's up to you to go ahead and do that. So we want to thank you for that. And I just want to say, listen, this is a great opportunity for you, so get on there and do the best that you can and try to make your relationship work. That's all we can really tell you. Try to give it your best in terms of making your relationship, because it's not a one-sided thing. If a relationship is going to work, it's going to take both parties to make it work. Once again, it's going to take both parties to make it work. All right, you're listening live, as I said, to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. We're going to be on with you tonight and just cover some things. And I hope and trust that you will get, be fed with some of the stuff that I want to share with you tonight. All right, so let's do this. I'm going to spend some time just kind of talking with you and preparing you. Tonight's topic is, are there any answers? Tonight's topic, are there any answers for rebellious teenagers or youth? Are there any answers for rebellious teenagers or youth? All right? That's what our topic tonight is. Are there any answers for rebellious teenagers or youth? Now, you may have gone on our website, and you may have seen where it says, are there any answers for rebellious teenagers or youth? It's actually, are there any answers for rebellious teenagers or youth? So don't get caught up into the word youth. That is solely for that's an error that's up there, and it should say, are there any answers for teenagers? Or, you know, when I think about that, what comes to my mind? That question, are there any answers? Are there any answers for teenagers or youth? And, you know, now we're not just asking about are there any answers for teenagers or youth. We're asking the question, are there any answers for rebellious, right? Are there any answers for rebellious teenagers? Rebellious teenagers. Now, remember, this show is not only a show just about boyfriend and girlfriend, husband and wife. This show actually, in fact, is about families, divorce, children. I mean, some of everything, anything to do with relationships, coworkers, siblings, parents, relationship with parents and their children, relationship with the children and the parents. This show is about all of those areas. So if you want to you can certainly pick up on that. It's relationships. Anything to do with a relationship. It could be a relationship, even a relationship with your animals. You know, and of course, if you have a question or a comment, you can certainly find that out as well. Tonight's topic is, are there any answers? Are there any answers for rebellious teenagers or youth? Are there any answers for rebellious teenagers or youth? All right, we're going to go to the story momentarily, but I do want to say, if you haven't checked out my book, please do so. Please do so. If you have not checked out the book, go to my website, and as a matter of fact, we'll send you a free excerpt from one of them in my book, so you can go there. All right, let's see here. We are just momentarily. We've done so many shows. All right, producers are letting me know that we're having some difficulty with locating tonight's story that was on there. All right, but never mind. Okay. All right, they're still trying to find that. Let me, by the way, my co-host, Ms. Audrey Blake, has been away for a while. But we do have people that will be joining us. If you have information that can help our youth out, our young people, we're going to encourage you to speak to that tonight as we talk about, as we present our question tonight. Are there any answers for rebellious youth? So I'm going to ask you to think about that, and you may want to even speak to that issue as well. Now, I'm going to attempt to say something about rebellious youth. You may find that there are young people who actually rebel against their parents, and some of the drawbacks of that happening. What are some of the drawbacks when young people rebel against their parents? We're going to go to the phone lines for a second, and let's just ask. We're going to start this evening with 954-226 and ask if what are some of the drawbacks when a young person rebels against their parent? And if you're not able to present that one, you might just give us what you think to be an answer for rebellious youth or teenagers. Who do we have on the air with us?
Hi, Dr. Walker. This is Rose.
Rose, thanks for joining us. Rose, give us your take on tonight's topic.
That's a very interesting topic. Are there any answers for rebellious teenagers or youth? Oh, my goodness. I'm not even sure if there is any answers. Sure, there must be some answers someplace, but people or teenagers rebel for different reasons, and I know that parents must think that they're climbing the wall, when their teenager is rebelling, because as they rebel, they do so many weird things that you would have no idea that they're capable of. I remember my middle daughter rebelled once. She shortly after my divorce, she went out and she got her tongue pierced. Now, she know that that was a no-no. She know I would never approve of that. As a matter of fact, there was no piercing on anybody piercing in my house, because we don't believe in piercing. But she went and she got her tongue pierced, and eventually she had to take it out, but she wasn't allowed to come home with that. She had to actually stay by my sister's house until for a period of time. Of course, after a while, I decided, you know what, that's my daughter, I love her, and I just have to work things out. But when I got to the root of it, I realized that she was rebelling. You know, this was just one of the ways that she rebelled with us getting a divorce. And what I had to do is just to love her back, you know, just show her love. And, you know, that really helped, you know, because I think she just wanted to know that she was loved by her parents, although her parents got a divorce. So she did something that she knew her parents would never approve of, which was piercing her tongue. So I think when you have a child that is rebelling, we just need to find out what is the root. We need to go and find out what's the root. What is causing this child to rebel? What is going on in this child's life? Something is causing them to go contrary to what they know we would approve of. So as parents, I think we need to take the time to learn what it is that that child is having problems with. You know, what is going on in that child's life that child feel like he or she cannot deal with and have to do something? Or what is that child trying to call our attention to? You know, it's like they're screaming out, look at me, I'm here. Whatever else is going on, I'm important, and I need your attention. I think that's what my daughter was doing when she went and pierced her tongue, because she knows that at that particular time, I was going to stop and pay attention to her, because now I was going to find out, are you crazy? What are you doing with your body? You know that's a no-no. So sometimes when a teenager is rebelling, they don't care. And they'll do something negatively because they know that they will draw your attention even more so if they did something negative. Whereas if they did something positive, you're just going to praise them. They, you know, you're happy with it, and you're going to move on. You're not going to spend enough time. You're not going to take enough time to pay attention to them. So although they're getting negative attention, they don't mind. The fact is, they know that they're getting your attention, and that's what they want. Your attention. So I believe, and maybe, you know, it might not work in every case because every situation is different. But in my case, in my scenario, with the attention my daughter was seeking, you know, and she rebelled by piercing her tongue, I stopped and paid attention to her. But eventually I made her come back home after about a week or so, and I just decided to show her love, let her realize that although her father and myself are now divorced or separated, it doesn't mean that we don't love her. You know, and maybe that's what she needed to know, and we make sure that we did that, you know. So when your teenager is rebelling, first thing, before you get on them and start fussing, because most times that just made the situation worse, most times it caused them to rebel even more. So before you get on them and, you know, fuss them out and want to throw them out of the house, just take some time to talk to them, find out what is it that they're going through, what is it that they need, why did you do this, you know, what caused you to go that route, what can you get or what can that do for you, you know, so take the time to talk to them and also let them know that you're there and you're not going anywhere. It doesn't matter what it is that they do, it's not going to cause you to love them any less. Let them feel secure with your love. You know, let them feel secure with your love, and maybe they'll open up to you.
Rose, thank you for that. That I think that is a very noble thing that you did to show the teenagers love. I do have just a couple of questions, and I want to be able to just go in there and ask couple of questions, if I may, and one of them, I want to just start out and just say simply that you say that you invited her back home to show love, and that was something that she needed. Well, are you suggesting that as sometimes as these kids demonstrate real bad behavior out here, that the answer is just to show them love? I mean, I question, do we just show them love and that's it? And that's the answer?
Well, like I said, each situation is different, and I was referring to my situation with my daughter. And the situation was that she rebelled because she didn't feel loved because of our divorce. You know, she probably, sometimes when you go through a divorce, the kids feel like it's their fault or they feel neglected because you, the parents, are going through your, you know, things, and maybe you don't pay enough attention to them anymore at that moment because you're trying to deal with your divorce and the hurt that you're feeling and everything that goes along with that. You know, so in my situation, every situation will not be the same, and there might be times when that child might be crying out for the attention and for the love, but there are times when that might be something else that caused them to rebel. That's why I say you have to find out what is going on. Talk to that child. Find out from that child why he or she did or is doing whatever it is that they're rebelling with. You have to get to the root of it.
Okay, I think that's an interesting point. We're going to go now. Let's go now. Let's pause for a moment and go now with our story for tonight. The topic is, are there any answers for rebellious teenagers or youth? George and Francis, these are the parents. Now, George and Francis have decided to downsize their home. This is nothing new. A lot of parents do this. George and Francis have decided to downsize their home by moving into a one-bedroom apartment, coming from a four-bedroom apartment, hoping to escape their three grown children who seem to have done nothing for their own lives. Now, one of the problems this may be in this particular case is because when the children were in their primary years, the parents would often let them do whatever they wanted to do without strict rules or any type of discipline. In the children's teenage years, they were all troublemakers, including the two girls and one son. Now, these are three kids, two boys and two girls and one boy. Upon graduation from high school, which all three barely made it, none of them chose to go to college or take a trade or vocational training for that matter. The parents were not formally educated, which shouldn't really matter. Instead, they're now all in their 20s, that's the children, and are living at home with their parents, and each child has at least two children. That's the problem. So you got those three children with their, you know, chances are the two girls, they have their children living there, and the son, who probably the baby mamas are probably not living there. Now, the parents are really frustrated and don't have a clue as to what to do except try to move away from them and downsize. The children don't hold really good jobs at all because they didn't get a trade or a skill or anything for that matter. In fact, each parent is now turning to the other parent and blaming each other for their children's poor behaviors and lack of continuance in the path of success by doing something with their lives. Now, of course, they love their children. But when is enough enough? And that's the question that I want to present. When is enough enough? And Rose, we heard what you were saying, and I just wonder if, you know, if I were to answer that question, I say, you know what? There's such a thing as tough love. There is such a thing as tough love, and you have got to learn to exercise that tough love. Because if you don't, you know, you're not going to be able to get through to these children. You've got to be able to exercise tough love. And tough love sometimes means, you know what? I can't let them have everything that they want to have. I can't let them do everything that they want to do. I can't let them take over. Instead, I have got to be the one to just let them know that, you know what? I got to place them on the right path, hopefully, if I can. You know, I think that it becomes a parent's responsibility and duty. I believe with all my heart that it becomes a parent's responsibility and duty to just have their kids, you know, disciplining them, teaching these kids what needs to be done and how it needs to be done. You know, I know that the Bible tells us to train up a child in the way that he should go. But the question is, does the Bible give you any instructions on training up a child? Does it really give you anything like some, you know, do you do this to the child? It says, spare not the rod. I understand that part. But does it give you any specific instructions on taking care of a child? And we would love to hear your comment if you can say so. Rose, let's go with you for a moment and ask the question, you know, is there something that the Bible says in terms of training up a child? Because now we're talking about, you know, dealing with these rebellious youth out here.
I can't recall any specifics in the Bible of how, well, no, let me take that back, because it does say someplace in the Old Testament about the word, writing it on their hearts. So to me, that means teaching them about God, teaching them about his laws, about his commandments, about the ways that they should behave, so that when they're older now, they will know, if they keep learning about that in their hearts, and hopefully they will live their life in that, in accordance to the word of God. And if they do, then, you know, I think they'll be on the right path.
I think that that's important also. You're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, 347-857-1769. You know, let me ask this question, and I'm going to throw it out there, and I'm going to try my best to answer that question. Is enough enough? When is enough enough? I mean, if you've got children, grown children, living in the house with you, and they have not done anything with their lives. I mean, I can understand, you know, there may be cultures, various cultures. Say, well, you know what, let us all just stay in one house together forever for the rest of our lives. But, you know, at some point, I would hope that parents are wise enough that we can learn from the animal kingdom out there. All these other species seem to get rid of their offspring. But as humans, you know, do we do that? You know, do we get rid of our offspring? And getting rid of them doesn't mean abandoning them completely. But I would think that it means giving these children a chance to grow on their own. That's what I would think, that giving these children that opportunity to do. That's what I would think. And so when they're not able to do that, you know, I wonder about that. I do. I wonder about that. Because if you don't, then when those children get out there, you're not always able to save them. And see, that's what can happen. You're not able to save the kids. So if you're not able to save them, then guess what? The fact of the matter is, they can run into difficulty on their own by being out there, and you won't know. You figure, you know what? I don't know why my kids are not successful. I don't know why this is happening or why that's happening. And that's the fact of the matter is. So I don't think you're doing anything to help your children when you just keep them right up under your wings. Children need, just like the animal kingdom, they need to explore. They need to figure it out for themselves. And, you know, I think that you do a total disservice when your kids are only getting instructions from you. When they're only getting instructions from you, I'm not saying that you can't advise them, but they need to grow and get some different opinions from other people. As long as it's, you know, just get the, just get a variety of opinions. I'm not saying that they got to follow those directives. Hopefully you're giving your kid the right directives. But it may be a point in time where, you know what, parents get it wrong too. Parents can certainly get it wrong. And I think that it becomes important where if you trained your child in the right way, if you trained them to the best of your ability, then I think that it becomes interesting to let the child figure it out for themselves. Tonight we're talking about, are there any answers for rebellious teenagers or youth? Society, as we face Young people, and I'm certainly familiar with this area because I spent a lot of time with and around young people. And let me tell you, it's a very frightening situation because the teenagers of today are clearly, it seems a great number of them are rebellious. And I think that children, I think they want direction. In the case with George and Francis tonight, with these parents, you know, and Rose, I'm going to go to you with that. I mean, here it is. They let these kids do whatever they wanted to do when they were in their primary years. They just let them do whatever they wanted to do. And when they got older in their teenage years, now the parents are probably trying to get some structure with them. But the question is it a little late for that? You know, is it really a little late for that when you're trying now to get these kids, to get some order with these children, when these kids have clearly, seemingly gotten out of hand? Rose, let me pose that one to you. Is it a little late?
I would want to say yes, although, you know, it's never too late to try. But if you're going to wait until they're teenagers before you try to train them, I think it's clearly too late. I mean, you could still try. There's nothing that would be the trial, but a failure, of course. But you could still try. But I think you have waited way too long.
All right, then I agree. And now here's the situation where you have all of these children living in the house with their parents, all of them. And now the parents are so frustrated, they're trying to downsize. All right, let's take another call. We're going to go to 919-875. You're live on the Dr. Jesse Walk Show. Who do we have on the air? And welcome.
Hi, this is Gloria.
Gloria, thank you
I'm
for joining us.
I'm coming in, Dr. Walker. But I just want to know, I'm sure somebody, I don't know what the story was about, but you all are talking about rebellious children. But I'm sure somebody has already said that it's because of these young people having so many children. They don't know what to do themselves, neither do they know how to raise children. I'm sure that's been said. And
Well, it wasn't said on tonight's show yet. It wasn't said yet on tonight's show.
Wasn't.
But go ahead, Gloria. No, go ahead.
That's how I feel about it. There's too many children raising children, and even when some of the grandmothers get the children, the grandmothers are young also. So it's just a pattern of just young people trying to raise young people and doing anything and everything in front of these children. So, of course, these children are going to be rebellious. I guess this was what the subject was. I really don't know what it was about.
Well, yeah, it's tonight's topic is, are there any answers for rebellious teenagers or youth? Well, Gloria, let me just ask you.
Oh, any answers for it? No.
Let me just ask you, do you think that there that there are any answers for these rebellious teenagers or youth?
Do I think there are?
Yeah, do you think there are any answers for them?
At this rate, the way the world is now and the way these children are now, with no training and no morals about themselves, I don't. I don't think there's any hope for them. I don't know what you can do out there for this generation of vipers. What can you do?
Well, that's the question. Are there any answers? So you're saying you don't think there's any hope for them, meaning there's no answers for them? I mean, who's going to carry the banner? I mean, is this just a lost generation? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, I am saying that. What can we do? I mean, nobody has answered that. What can we do?
All right. Okay. So we're going to ask you to stand by. I think that that's a very noble thought of what you're saying, and we're certainly going to let's look at that. So if this generation over the next 20 to 25 years, I mean, how do you see life happening? assuming that you have grandchildren, do you have grandchildren?
Do I, yeah.
All right. Do you see your grandchildren fitting in with this hopeless society?
Yes, I see this. Unless my children have the parents that are going to be strict and, I mean, show them morals, God's morals or something, I don't see anything else for them. What else is it for them?
Well, would you honestly say, Gloria, that you feel you did your job as a parent, and now it's up to your children to train their own children in such a way, because that's not really your job?
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Then you get to the point where you have trained your grandchildren to an extent, and they know right from wrong. But what is it, this society out here, this world out here, they want to be a part of this world so much until they, I don't know, they fall prey to everything.
Right. Okay. All right. So there's a whole, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, that wasn't me, honey.
Oh, okay, okay. All right, we're going to take some of the comments that have come through here. And just before I go to the comments, I want to say, Gloria, that that's an interesting perspective that you present. First, let me start by saying, when you mentioned that a lot of young people are having children, and even the grandparents are young as well. So with that in mind, could it be that the cycle is repeating itself? The parents had their child when they were young, and so now the children are also having their children at young. So
right.
Could that possibly be what's happening, Gloria, that you're talking about?
It is what's happening because, first of all, there's nothing new under the sun. And secondly, the Bible says, as it was in the days of Noah, that these things would be happening. So it's nothing new out there. And everything that's doing now is repeating. Including that generation, that antediluvian generation that was drowned in the flood. I mean, babies, everybody, everything.
Okay, so wow, that's scary because if the generation starts to get out, go ahead.
No, it's frightening.
Yes, if the generation starts to get out of hand, which it sounds like it could be from your perspective, then that means, you know, perhaps crime even will be on the uprise. So what can the older generation do? Is there any hope for the older generation? Because eventually they're going to become frightened by these young people that are rebellious, and it's like a revolution. So what happens?
They're already frightened.
Okay. All right.
And they're already worried. What do you do? I don't know what to do.
Okay. All right. The question tonight is, are there any answers for rebellious teenagers or youth? Are there any answers for rebellious teenagers or youth? And if you're just joining us, that's the topic. We talk about in our story tonight, George and Francis. We talk about George and Francis. Now, this is a couple that have been married for a long period of time. And they've decided now to downsize their home. They're coming from a four-bedroom home, and they want to now move into a one-bedroom apartment because they have three adult children still living with them who have done nothing with their lives. But the problem is these parents, George and Francis, have allowed these children to do whatever they wanted to do when they were in elementary school. They've allowed them to do whatever they wanted to do when they were in middle school. They've allowed them to do whatever they wanted to do when they were teenagers. So those
three kids,
are two girls and a boy. They're now in their 20s, and each one of them have two children each. And the girls, their children are living in the house with the grandparents, and they just have these mediocre jobs where they're not doing anything. And the boy, he has two different baby mamas, and so that's a problem. And so you got all of these problems going on, and now the parents are so frustrated, they're starting to blame each other and saying, hey, it's your fault, and he's saying that to her, she's saying that to him, and now there's chaos, but they've concluded, let's move to a one-bedroom apartment and get rid of these children. Now, what's going to happen to those children now who are adults? Let's go to the phone lines once again. Gloria, we're going to ask you to stand by. Rose, we're going to also ask you to stand by. We're going to go to 917-399. You're on the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Who do we have with us? And thank you for joining us.
Hi, Dr. Jesse Walker. This is Angela. How are you going?
Angela, we're doing just great. I trust that you are. Angela, can you help us make some sense out of this? Are there any answers for rebellious teenagers or youth?
Put them out. Let them live on the street for a little bit. I had to do the same thing to my daughter. Want to be grown? Get out. And what they do is they go to other people's houses, and they can only stay there for about a week. And then their parents put them out. Then they had to come back. I had my daughter tell me, well, y'all wanted me to come back? I was like, who wanted you to come back? No, I didn't.
So they get to go to one of their friends' house and stay about a week. And then their friend ends up getting kicked out of the house. And so, I mean, that's what it is. And I agree with you. It has to be, I said it earlier, you've got to exercise tough love. Now, let me ask you, Angela, would you have been able to accept it, say, if something happened to your daughter out there while you put her out, that she got pregnant or became gravely ill because she rebelled and her rebelliousness was of such that she figured she was going to do something to get back at you? Were you able to accept that? Would you have been able to accept that, or you don't know?
I have no idea. Let's put it like this. When I put her out, my husband had more sympathy for her than I did, because I feel like she's a girl child. I'm raising daughters, and she's nothing like how I was when I was growing up. I had a lot of responsibility being the oldest daughter out of my siblings. I had to take care of them, teach them, mold them. When my parents worked at night. So a lot of times her and I bump heads because she's not doing the things that I think that she should be doing for her age. She's 20, and she's kind of spoiled. I will blame myself for that because I'm used to just giving them things instead of them earning it. But now she's starting to find out that mom's not paying my telephone bill anymore. Her phone been off for 3 months. She tries to bribe me to pay it. Nope, I'm not paying it. Get a job, pay your own bill. She comes in and do one or two chores and think that's good enough. Okay, but you live here rent-free. I feed you every night. I still buy your clothes. So I'm still not going to pay you. I'm still trying to deal with it myself because my husband oldest three kids. They were kind of rebellious also, but we didn't have their mother working along with us to kind of help along the situation. And I think that's a big problem, too, with single parents, is that you have married couples out here trying to do the best they can, and then you have the single parents who is just going along with what the kids want to do.
You had the married couples going along and say that last part again?
I'm sorry. I said you had the married couples who were working together to try to make things work out, and then you had the single parents who were just going along allowing the kids to do what they want to do. And that used to be a conflict within my household. My husband would put the kids on punishment, and then as soon as they go home, she'd take them off punishment. Or they'd be on punishment down here with my husband, and they'd go sneak and call her and tell her they don't want to be here, and they didn't think it was right that they were on punishment down here, and she would make up some story and say, oh, well, I just came to get them for a day or two, and then they'll come back, and then they never come back to finish out their punishment. She wouldn't allow them to stick with the punishment, even though they were at her house.
Right. Well, let me ask you this here. In the case of George and Francis, now they've got three kids that are grown, and these kids have two each. That's six. Their three children have now multiplied by two, and they have six children. Do you think George and Francis are doing the right thing by moving out from these kids and downsizing to live in a one-bedroom apartment to get rid of them?
Actually, no. Why not? go ahead and downsize and move out and let them take care of everything else. If they don't do it, then they'll get evicted.
Well, I've known of cases also where the parent has several children, and the children were having children, and when the parent moved out to downsize, all the children ended up, because the parent loved them so much, when they can't survive out there, the parent is saying, okay, well, come on in here with all your children. So now you've got 8 people, 10 people living in a one-bedroom apartment. I mean, there is something clearly wrong with that.
Well, my thing is, someone told me that black people were the only people, culture-wise, who don't stick together when it comes to things like that. We try to rush our kids out into the world, and they can't come back. But when you're dealing, when you see the Indians come over here from, like, Pakistan and India and from these other countries, they work together. They all live together. They save money so this person can get their place, and they help each other. And we're the only people who don't do that. But I think it's all about upbringing, because with my kids, they know by a certain age, this is what I expect of you, because this is what I'm teaching them from a certain age on up. By this age, you should be doing this. By this age, you should be out on your own, out in the world doing something. I don't tell our kids, when the last one leaves, we get in the RV, and we don't know what y'all going to do, but we travel in the United States, and we're going to live in our RV. So you better figure out what your living situation is and go from there.
All right. Angela, let me ask you this question. How old is your oldest and how old is your youngest? I mean, for sounds like you have a blended family. So for both sides, how old is the oldest and how old is the youngest?
Well, my oldest will be 24 in October. I have a 20-year-old. One will be 14 in a couple of days, and an 8-year-old. And then my husband has one that's 30, 29, and then 23. So
okay.
Everybody's pretty much grown except for our last two.
Okay. If you were in George or France's situation where they got all of these kids living in their house now, and they're trying to downsize, if these kids start coming one by one, these adult children start knocking on the door and saying, I don't have any place to go and I got my little babies here, what would you do, honestly speaking? You're in a one-bedroom now with your husband. What would you do? And that's your RV. One of the kids start coming, they need to bring their kids.
Well, I would tell them they would have to go to a shelter because I don't have room. I'm not going to compromise my living arrangement for them, because then I'm going to be doing the same thing, which is moving out, leaving something to them, and trying to find something else for myself. That's
all right,
what
now
I would do.
Right, suppose your husband might feel different. Now there's some conflict with the two of you all. He says, no, we're not letting the child go out there. And assuming that he is the man of the house, and you know, would you subscribe to that? Would you go along with that?
Absolutely not. I will move out, get my own.
Okay, so it could cause, with these grown children in the house, you were saying that it could cause problems in your relationship.
Is it, yes, it would. I've had a situation where I allowed one of my husband's girlfriend, who was pregnant and had a baby, to live with me. But I made ground rules before she moved in. I sat her down and I told her, you have exactly 1 year to get your stuff together. You need to save your money so you can move and find a place of your own. All I want you to do is give me X amount, which wasn't much because it covered the food that they ate. But as far as paying rent, we covered that because we have to pay rent anyway.
Right.
So I don't want to hear an excuse in a year that you don't have enough money to move out when you've been supposedly saving whatever you have. And then when the year came, that person got pregnant again and was trying to keep it a secret through my younger daughter, who's 8 now, and she just blurted out. And I said, oh, really? So when she came in, I said, oh, you having another baby? I said, well, you know, you still have less than a month before you have to move out. And she's like, oh, you really going to put me out on the street? I said, I sure am. I didn't say to go get knocked up again. You better figure out what you're going to do, but in less than a month, you're going to be living on the street if you don't find a place to stay. And like a month later, she had a place to stay.
Wow, wow. How does your husband feel about that, being that that was his biological daughter?
Well, he didn't want her to come in the first place. Well, it was his biological son's girlfriend. So
he didn't want
her there in the first place. I actually went against everything he was saying because I felt sorry for her. She was going in a shelter with an 8-year-old, and she was pregnant at the time. So I know that living in a shelter is really, really difficult, you know, on kids.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I was more concerned about, the child.
Mm-hmm.
So she was even her son with me, because I don't know what type of help she thought I was offering, but she thought that I was going to be babysitting. I had started helping her son with his homework because she got frustrated with doing homework with him. And then one day she came, started coming in here at 9 o'clock, and then I said, girl, you got kids. What's wrong with you? Because I do things by routine. I'm used to my kids eat dinner at a certain time. They have to be showered by a certain time. They in the bed by 9 o'clock. So I got her son on the same routine. But when I saw that she was taking advantage of that, I said, oh, no, this not even going to happen. So I had to put a stop to that. But I made her stick to the year to get out. And she wanted, requested more time, and I told her no. Go live with your mother, go stay with your sister, but it won't be here.
Mm-hmm. All right. Andrew, we're going to ask you to stand by just for a second, and that's what I call tough love. And I think that needs to be exercised oftentimes. And I heard you mention about certain cultures, and I do understand that certain cultures, yes, they may feel differently, and there are certain groups, I'm not sure statistics on it, or what ethnicity works together oftentimes. But I would say this here, that I think the key, like Rose said earlier, is in those primary years, training those children. I think the Bible has it right. You know, train those children. And I like what you said. By this time in your life, you need to be doing something. And parents can actually tell, whether or not their children are on course. Because if your child is not making good grades in first grade, then you need to start taking an assessment and finding out what's going on with the kid. If your child has gotten to second grade by now or failed first grade, that's a serious issue. That's serious. Let's take some of these comments. Gloria, we're going to ask if you need to come in. Do you have a comment, Gloria?
Yeah, I wanted to say something about what she was talking about, that the lady was talking about.
Yeah, go ahead, Gloria.
The other groups of people and how they live together and all of that. It's a difference in how that living together with them is. Our situation is not so much as cultural, because theirs is cultural. And ours is just plain ugly. Our living with each other. Now, we wouldn't mind living with each other if each other would do the right thing. Those people bond together, put their money together. All of them get out there and work. It's not one or two sitting in there waiting on the others. So that's what that bonded in those cultures are about. But ours, some of it is an entirely different thing.
Mm-hmm. Right?
An entirely different thing with us. That's what I want.
Right, but I don't think it's all necessarily a bad thing. I think that I think it's because we grow up in a family. It doesn't mean you abandon your family when you leave, but I do believe that it's important that you explore. Just imagine that if every family just lived with their own family and all you have basically is those are the only people that you love. I mean, and the Bible tells you love your neighbor as yourself. You know, if you don't get accustomed to anybody else, all you have is just your family, and you're operating within the confines of only your family for the rest of your life. But then how would you, if you think about it, how do you meet other people? How do you, because you're not going to commit incest, I would hope not. So how do you meet other people? How do you get onto relationships? All right, we're going to actually stand by just a second, Gloria, and we're going to go to Rose. Rose, give us your thoughts.
I'm not sure if I'm understanding you right, but when you say how would they meet other people if they live with their family for the rest of their life, I'm from a different culture. I'm from a different culture, but and what Gloria is saying is exactly what we do. It doesn't mean
right.
that we're going to live with our families for the rest of our lives. It just means that we help each other out until each person
right.
can get their own. Okay, so it's
right.
not a matter of living with the family all the days of your life, but you live together and you work together and put your funds together to help each other. You know,
right.
one might be in school and I feel them working, but you help each other. And as
right.
time progresses, you move out into your own place and do your own thing. And although
right.
you might be living together for a period of time, you still have outside friends. You could still travel to where you want to go. So it's not confined that you have to only talk to these people, you know. So it's just a matter of helping each other to get ahead.
Right.
That's an interesting point, Rose. And I just want
That's
to say
That's what
this
I'm
here.
Talking about.
Right, but then, Gloria, with you and Rose, and I'm going to say you all been on the same page with what you're presenting. But then if that be the case, okay, like let's take, for example, Angie, how she said her husband's biological son's girlfriend moved in. Now all of a sudden, all right, you got in their household is about 7 or 8 kids, you know, that are grown up, but still the only 2 of those kids are still under age. Now, at what point do these grown folks, 40 and 45-year-olds, all right, they have a bad time, I can understand that, but then they come move in with you and bring their spouses in, how long are they going to stay with you? I mean, who wants to be staying with people? I mean, this is just my opinion. Who wants their family members staying with them forever? No matter how much I love them, I need to be away from you all. I need my spouse and I, you know, to be together, and we need to be away from each other. Angie, let me bring you in just for a second, and then Rose will give you a chance to come back in, and Gloria as well. And then we'll take a little time to wrap it up with some of these comments. Angie?
Yes, I'm here.
All right. Angie, do you want your kids, I mean, when they're 45, you know, okay, they fell on hard times, they're bringing their spouse in, and now they probably bring some other children in, and they're staying with you for 5 years?
No, I don't want my kids coming back at 45. I have a neighbor next door who did the same thing to her parents. She moved back in with her husband and her 2 kids, and then she somehow was able to get on her mother's lease. She claimed that her mother was sickly and that she needed someone to take care of her. And now it's like I see the mother, she's locked out of her own house, and she's at my house hanging out until someone come let her in.
No,
I don't want that. My husband and I love our privacy. If we want to walk around butt naked, that's what we want to do. I actually do that so my kids will know. They'll say, oh, mommy, put some clothes on. I'll be like, why? This is my house. And when
right.
you get of age, you get out and you go get your own place, and then you can dictate what mm-hmm. goes on in your place. But as long as you're under my roof, I get to do what I want to do. So in their
mm-hmm.
minds, I instill that by a certain age, I want you to go away to college. You shouldn't be
right.
coming back. You should only come back to visit. And, you know, sometimes you fall on hard times, 2 years the most. After that,
right.
you're going to have to find somewhere else to go. I just
right.
can't take care of any grown kids. I went back to my parents' house 1 time with my son. And after 4
mm-hmm.
days, my mother drove me crazy, and I left. And I never
right.
turn back. I tell my husband that
right.
story all the time. I would never, ever go back to stay with my mother again because I just wasn't comfortable. As
right.
I just felt like my rights were taken away. I couldn't do what I wanted
mm-hmm.
to do. So you know what?
Mm-hmm.
Now I have the incentive to be out on my own and to take care
mm-hmm.
of my business, make sure I have a job where I can have my own place and somewhere for me to lay my head and my child to lay my head. And I want my kids to do the same.
All
right.
You know what? The producers are letting me know we're going to continue this one on next week. But I tell you what, we'll continue with the part 2 with this one here. But I'll tell you, with Gloria and with Rose, what you all are saying, I hear what you're saying. I try to understand what you're saying as well. But let me tell you something. I mean, I think sometimes, and I can understand the cultural differences, you know, where some families grow up and they do these things and they bond and they have that going on. But I think maybe, you know, the American culture has been, and I don't think it's just down to one race of people, blacks in America or whites in America. I think that that's part of the American culture, is where, you know, there's an expectation that our children have to go. They got to get out. And, you know, it's time for them to figure things out, figure life out for themselves, rather than being under the wings of the parent all the time. And sometimes, because I'm going to tell you something, when those children are in that house as grown-ups, you think they were rebellious as children. Those children, I mean, mm-hmm. after living with you for a extended period of time, I'm not trying to be, you know, I don't think the policy is that you're trying to be an equal to your son and your daughter. I don't believe in that. Those are not my friends. I'm their parent. I'm not
trying to be. That's the problem nowadays.
But, you know, no, I'm not trying to be their peer. I want respect from them.
That's the problem now with those kids. The parents are babies themselves. They don't know how to be parents.
I don't want those kids thinking that they can tell me what to do. And you know, and I'm the parent, and I've lived my life. I don't have to have their advice. Now, if I don't know how to operate something with a computer, if I want to ask them, that's fine. But not to give me advice about my life. I'm not their friend. I am their parent. And of course, that's my opinion. And then it's, you know, and I understand. But that's the American culture. That's what I'm accustomed to. And I'm strictly mentioning my opinion. And because it can be a conflict. When those children are in the house, they live with you, they're not going to want to follow your rules. And then who wants to sit up all night waiting and wondering if your child is okay, and they done went out for the night. And then you can't sleep, and you're up to 2 o'clock in the morning. Angie, do you want to go through that?
Absolutely not. They're not going to come and take over my place. They can get out.
That's exactly
what they'll do. They'll come in and start asking you questions like you owe them an explanation.
That's exactly what they do to me now. They're going to make demands on you, and that's not the way it goes. That is not the way it goes. And I say this with respect to cultures. Now, cultures are different, but the American culture, and, you know, when we look at it, we have to look at the culture of it because, and then when the cultures mix, if there's a problem, it doesn't even have to be a cultural mix. I'm saying like if the husband is from one culture, the wife is from, or vice versa. It doesn't have to necessarily be a problem, but because it can be the same culture and a problem, just like Angie, you and your husband had that conflict, you know, and you clearly said you would move out. Well, you know what? When you're allowing your children, I, the parent, to cause a problem for your life now when you've raised them hopefully the way that you should have, then that's an ill-fated situation. And you know what? On that note, we're clearly out of time. And listen, I'm going to ask both all of you all to join us next week because we're going to continue with part two of this. Join us this Friday for your half-hour inspiration program. Of course, if you missed this Friday, half-hour inspiration program, we'll be back here next Tuesday for Are There Any Answers for Rebellious Teenagers or You? Until this Friday or until next Tuesday, I say to my listening audience, good night, God bless, and thank you, God.